My nephew, who is really quite a successful novelist, is in the habit of comparing life at St. Mary Mead to the scum on a pond. But as I once pointed out to him, if you were to smear that scum on a slide and examine it under a microscope, you would find it teeming with life of a quite unexpected kind. Take the vicarage, for example. A haven of righteousness and tranquillity, you might think. But you would be surprised.
We present June Whitfield as Miss Marple and Francis Matthews as the Reverend Leonard Clement in Agatha Christie's Murder at the Vicarage.
I can only say that if someone were to murder Colonel Protheroe, they'd be doing the world a great service.
Do you think that's a fit and proper remark for a member of the cloth to make at the lunch table? Particularly when he's wielding a carving knife.
Here's the greens.
It'll be remembered against you, Uncle, when the old boy is found bathed in blood. You'll give evidence, won't you, Mary?
And the dumplings. That's it, then. I hope you enjoy it.
Moist dumplings, half-cooked greens. Can't you teach that woman anything?
Well, I do try, but it only makes things worse. It's a pity I'm such a rotten housekeeper.
Griselda is a good 20 years younger than her poor husband, and is quite incapable of taking anything seriously. She treats the parish as a kind of huge joke arranged for her amusement.
Think how lucky you are not to be torn to pieces by lions or burnt at the stake. Bad food and lots of dust and dead wasps is really nothing to make a fuss about.
I am not making a fuss.
At any rate, the early Christians didn't have to put up with church wardens. What's Colonel Protheroe done to upset you this time?
Pompous old idiot. No wonder his first wife ran away from him.
I don't see what else you could do.
Griselda, I will not have you speaking that way.
And I doubt if her successor will stand the course. She must be at least 20 years younger than he is.
You mustn't say things like that, Dennis. You know Leonard will take it personally.
Sorry.
Well, what exactly is the trouble with Protheroe? Is it Mr. Hawes genuflecting and crossing himself all the time?
Yes, I really must have a word with Hawes. I am accustomed to having teething troubles with new curates, but that man... No, it's all to do with Mrs. Price Ridley's wretched pound note.
Oh, that woman is a troublesome old busybody.
Well, the Sunday before last, she says she put a pound note into the offertory box. It was the anniversary of our son's death. When she saw the collection notice that I'd pinned up in the porch, the highest item mentioned was a 10-shilling note.
She probably didn't notice the difference.
Well, that's what I suggested. She really became quite indignant. Off she went to complain to Colonel Protheroe. He was most offensive about it. He insists on going over all the church accounts with me, in case of defalcations.
What are they, when they're at home?
Well, I think he's accusing me of embezzling church funds.
Oh, nobody could possibly believe you'd do a thing like that, darling. You're so transparently above suspicion. Well, it would be a wonderful opportunity. It's quite an idea I could do than you had. When's he coming, anyway?
Tomorrow evening. Have you got a vicarage tea this afternoon?
Oh, I most certainly have.
Who's coming?
Mrs. Price Ridley.
Oh, what?
And Miss Weatherby and Miss Marple, all the old biddies.
I rather like Miss Marple. She has at least a sense of humour.
Well, she is the biggest nosy parker in the village. She knows every single thing that goes on.
I've seen her with a pair of binoculars. She pretends she's watching birds.
And I've asked Mrs. Lestrange to come, though I know she won't, of course.
Oh, that's the woman who's taken little Gates?
Mm-hmm. There's something very mysterious about her arriving down here and hardly ever going outside the house. She's like something out of a detective story. Who was she, the mysterious woman with the pale, beautiful face? The only person she ever sees is Dr. Haydock.
It all sounds perfectly grisly. I hope you're not expecting me to help out with your tea.
Well, yes, I was rather, Dennis.
Well, I'm afraid I shall have to disappoint you. I've been invited up to the old hall for a game of tennis with Lettuce.
Oh, beast.
The path through the woods, from the vicarage to the old hall, goes past my cottage window, and one really cannot help noticing all the comings and goings. Lettuce Protheroe, for instance. she's the Colonel's daughter. By his first marriage, of course. And strictly between ourselves, she's rather a little minx.
Oh, sorry.
No.
I didn't expect to find you here, Vicar.
If you come to a vicarage, you should be prepared to find a vicar.
I was really looking for Dennis.
So he's gone up to see you. He said you'd invited him for tennis.
Yes, I did, but that was for Wednesday.
Today is Wednesday.
Oh, it isn't. Oh, that means I've forgotten to go to lunch with the Wedderburns for the third time. Is Griselda anywhere about?
I expect you'll find her in the garden studio. She's sitting to Lawrence Redding.
Oh, I didn't realise he was painting her portrait as well. There's been quite a schmozzle about him. Father's cutting up something rotten.
Well, what about?
About my portrait. Father's furious because Lawrence is painting me in my bathing dress. If I go on the beach in it, why shouldn't I be painted in it?
Quite so.
It's really absurd. Father forbidding Lawrence the house. I shall have to come here and be done in your studio.
Oh, no, my dear, no, not if your father forbids it. I'm in enough trouble as it is.
How tiresome everything is. If only I had some money, I'd get away. But Father won't let me have a penny. He's so mean. I don't wonder Mother left him. Do you know, for years I believed she was dead.
Really?
What sort of a young man did she run away with? Was he nice?
Well, it was before your father came to live down here.
I wonder what's become of her. I expect Anne will have an affair with someone soon. She can't stand him either. And she hates me.
Oh,
she's
no.
Quite decent, but I know she hates
me. I'm sure she does nothing of the kind.
She's getting old and she doesn't like it. That's the age you break out, you know. Good Lord, is that the time?
Well, no, not exactly. You see, that clock
is... I told Dr. Stone I'd take a look at his barrow at 3 o'clock.
His barrow?
Didn't you know about that? He's a famous archaeologist. He's excavating the old barrow on Whitstone Hill.
Oh.
It's on Father's property, actually, and they've already had rows about it.
Oh, he's the man staying at the inn?
With Miss Cram. He says she's his secretary, but I don't believe a word of it.
Letters.
Anyway, I must be off.
Oh, you're not coming to Griselda's vicarage tea, then?
No, thanks. You wouldn't catch me dead with that coven of scandal-mongering old crones.
No nice girl would do it, that's for sure.
Do what, Miss Weatherby?
Be a private secretary to an unmarried man.
Oh, my dear, I think married ones are much the worst. Remember poor Molly Carter.
Tea, Mrs. Press-Ridley?
Oh, thank you. Married men living apart from their wives are, of course, notorious.
And even some of the ones living with their wives. I remember that extraordinary couple.
Good afternoon.
We were talking about Dr. Stone and Miss Cram.
Their rooms are on the same floor, you know.
The man must be at least 25 years older than she is.
Don't you think that Miss Cram may just like having an interesting job and that she considers Dr. Stone just as an employer?
My dear, you are so very young. The young have such innocent minds.
I don't think I've got anything of the kind. Do you really think she would want to have an affair with that dull, bald-headed man?
I understand. Dr. Stone is quite well off. Rather a violent temper, I'm afraid. He had the most frightful row with Colonel Protheroe the other day.
Do tell us. What was it about?
They were shouting so loud I couldn't help overhearing them. It was about the excavation. The Colonel was insisting that Dr. Stone hadn't even the faintest idea how long barrows were constructed.
More tea, Miss Marple?
Oh, thank you.
There's been some fuss about that young man Lawrence Redding, hasn't there?
It appears that he was painting Lettice in her bathing dress. Colonel Protheroe turned him out of the house.
Poor Lettice. That's what comes of not having a mother around. A stepmother's never quite the same thing.
She seems scarcely older than Lettice.
Mr. Redding is painting me, too.
But not in your bathing dress, surely.
Yeah, it might be much worse.
I quite forgot to tell you. I knew I had some news for you. I saw Dr. Haydock coming out of that house where Mrs. Lestrange lives.
She might have been ill, Miss Weatherby.
Oh, she was perfectly all right earlier this afternoon.
She and Dr. Haydock must be very old acquaintances. He's very quiet about it.
As a matter of fact, I happen to know that her husband was a missionary.
Really?
Mm. He was eaten, you know. Actually eaten. And then she was forced to become the chief's head wife.
Naughty girl. If you make up these things, people are quite likely to believe them. And sometimes that leads to complications.
I wonder wonder if there is anything between Redding and Letty's Protheroe. It certainly looks like it. What do you think, Miss Marple?
I shouldn't have said so myself. Quite another person, I should have said.
Miss Marple, don't you think that we're all much too inclined to let our tongues run away with us? Charity thinketh no evil, you know. Now, inestimable harm may be done by foolish wagging of tongues in ill-natured gossip.
Oh, dear Vicar, you are so unworldly. I'm afraid that after observing human nature for as long as I have done, one gets not to expect much from it. I dare say that idle tittle-tattle is very wrong and unkind, but it is so often true, is it not?
Do you really think I'm having an affair with Lawrence Redding?
Of course not.
But you thought Miss Marple was hinting at it, and you rose to my defence like an angry tiger.
Oh, I'm not so sure that clergymen of the Church of England are supposed to behave like angry tigers. I felt that the occasion could not pass without a protest. But I do wish you'd be a little more careful in what you say, Griselda.
Because I suggested that he might be painting me in the nude.
Oh, dear.
Well, if only they knew I'm wearing a thick coat with a very high collar, it couldn't be more innocent.
Hmm.
Lawrence never attempts to make love to me.
Well, surely you don't want him to.
Well, no.
If he's supposed to be in love with Letty's Protheroe... Well,
Miss Marple didn't seem to think he was.
Miss Marple may be mistaken.
She never is. The trouble about her is that she is always right. You do believe me, don't you, Leonard? I mean that there's nothing between Lawrence and me.
My dear Griselda, of course.
Oh. I wish you weren't so terribly easy to deceive. Mm. You'd believe anything I said.
Well, so I should hope. But I must be off. I promised the Dorcas group that I'd take a look at the flower arrangement they made in the church. Oh, excuse me. I didn't realise there was anyone here. I didn't mean to disturb you, Mrs. Lestrange.
You've a perfectly good right to be here, Vicar. It's your church, after all.
Is there anything I can do? Can I help you in any way?
No, Vicar, you can't. I was just giving way to a moment of weakness, that's all. Actually, I came to take a look around the church while there was no one here. The screen is really quite wonderful.
Yes, yes, it's very unusual, you know, to find one in this part of the world where the painted figures have survived.
Who's the man in the red hat with the lion peeping out from under his cloak?
It's Saint Jerome, I believe. The lady next to him with the dragon is said to be Saint Elizabeth.
There's such a feeling of peace in this place.
Are you certain there's nothing I can do?
No, there's nothing. I mean, I don't think anyone can help me, but thank you for offering to do so.
No.
One gets so lost sometimes, living alone.
Now, why don't you take my wife up on her invitation to come along to the vicarage one afternoon? Griselda has regular get-togethers, you know. And there are various women's groups. Now, you need never feel lonely in St. Mary Mead.
You're very kind, but I don't think that would be my kind of thing. You mustn't be concerned about me, really. I am used to solving my problems in my own way. Goodbye.
The vicar is back early this evening, and he's going over to the garden studio. Not very advisable, I'm afraid. I think he may be in for a most unpleasant surprise.
My darling, my dearest love.
Lawrence. Lawrence, lock the door. Anyone could come in.
What do I care? Let anyone come.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do forgive me. I'm so sorry.
Mrs. Protheroe's here. She says she must speak to you.
Sure, Mary.
You can go in, madam.
Thank you. I thought it best to come and see you straight away. It was you that looked into the studio just now.
Yes, it was.
Lawrence and I... You see, we love each other.
Hmm.
I suppose to you that seems very wrong.
You can hardly expect me to say anything else.
No, I suppose not.
You are a married woman, Mrs. Protheroe.
Do you think that I haven't gone over all that? Are you going to tell my husband?
There seems to be a general idea that a clergyman is incapable of behaving like a gentleman. That is not so.
You can't possibly know what things are like. Life with Lucius is hell. It has been right from the start. No woman could be happy with him. I wish he were dead.
Oh, Mrs. Protheroe.
I know it's terrible, but I do. I don't know what I'm going to do. If only I could get away.
No, it is a very serious step to leave your husband and your home. I'm sure you realize that.
You're seeing Lawrence later this evening, I believe.
Am I? Oh, good Lord, yes, yes, of course. He's coming round to dinner, isn't he?
He'll want to talk to you, I know.
I hope he will.
I'm not likely to do anything foolish. Things haven't gone as far as you might think.
I'm very relieved to hear it.
Lawrence is very young. Try to understand. And please treat him kindly. I beg you.
The vicarage port isn't up to much, I'm afraid. However, it's the best I can do.
You're very kind, Mr. Clement, thank you.
That's all.
I've no idea what we're going to do. If I had the money, I'd take her away with me and damn the consequences. But I don't know whether Anne could bring herself to do that anyway.
Oh, I sincerely hope she wouldn't be so irresponsible.
If this were a private fantasy, the old man would conveniently die. Good riddance to him.
Mr. Redding, I do hope that you don't mean what you're saying.
Oh, I don't mean that I'm going to stick him in the back with a knife. But there's not a soul who's got a good word to say for him. You can have no idea what Anne has had to put up with. What do you think I should do?
I think you should leave St. Mary Mead at once. By remaining here, you will only bring greater unhappiness onto Mrs. Protheroe. People will talk. The news must inevitably reach the Colonel's ears. You can imagine the frightful situation that would place her in.
But you're the only person who knows anything about it.
You know, you evidently have a very limited notion of village life. In St. Mary Mead, everyone knows everyone else's intimate affairs. There's no detective in England equal to a spinster lady of uncertain age, with plenty of time on her hands.
Oh, I realise that. But everyone thinks I'm having an affair with Lettice.
Has it occurred to you that it is possible Lettice thinks so herself?
Lettice? If she doesn't care for me in the least.
You sure of that?
Of course. But it's queer. She does seem to have it in for Anne. And yet Anne's always been a perfect angel to her. But all the same, you could have a point. It might be best if I were to pack up and go. For a time at least. I don't want to bring any more trouble on Anne.
I truly believe that it is the only sensible course.
Oh, if we only did what was sensible. But I'll think about it, I promise.
You're looking particularly gloomy this morning. Is something the matter?
No, nothing in particular.
You haven't forgotten that I'm going up to London today?
Oh, yes, I must confess I have.
Oh, it's Thursday, remember?
Thursday,
Something is worrying you. Is it Colonel Protheroe?
Colonel Protheroe?
Well, aren't you supposed to be meeting him to talk about the defalcations or whatever it is he calls them?
Oh, so I am. Yes, thank you for reminding me. Gone clear out of my head.
Clement! I say, Clement!
Ah, good morning, Colonel. We're supposed to be meeting today, I believe.
I have just had the considerable satisfaction of sending a couple of poachers down for 6 months. Oh. Sound and damn well right, huh? Not that 6 months is anything like what they deserve. I thought I'd got rid of that scoundrel Archer for good. For you will say knife the fellows out of jail again, vowing vengeance on me. I'd have given him 6 years if it had been in my power. The sentences we're allowed to inflict are far too lenient. You'd agree, I feel sure.
You forget, Colonel, that my calling obliges me to respect one quality above all others, the quality of mercy.
Mercy? Oh, mercy be damned. I hope no one would show me mercy if I didn't deserve it. What the church needs, Clement, is more backbone. Little more of the church militants, if you please.
No.
Well, now then, about our meeting this evening.
Yes, 6 o'clock, isn't it?
If it's all the same with you, we'll make it 6:15. I've got to see a man in the village about clearing out the ponds.
6:15 will suit me admirably.
Good, and be sure to have the accounts ready. I don't want it to take all night.
251.
Is that the vicarage?
Yes, it is.
It's about Mr. Abbott of Lower Farm. I think he's dying.
Oh.
Can you come?
Yes, yes, of course. I'll come straight away. Lower Farm, you said?
That's right. Please, hurry.
Mary! Mary!
Yes?
Oh.
What is it?
Mary, I've got to go to Lower Farm. It's an emergency. It's too late to ring Colonel Protheroe. He'll already have left. Would you tell him that I've been called away and ask him to wait? I'll be back as soon as I can.
Clement! Clement! Thank God you're back.
Oh, Lawrence.
There's work for you here, Clement.
I'm sorry, did you want a word? I was called away. I do have to see Protheroe about the church accounts, but that shouldn't take very long.
Protheroe? Oh, yes. Yes, you'll see Protheroe, all right? He won't take up much of your time.
What's the matter with you, man? What is it?
I've got to get away from here.
Hmm?
I've got to go somewhere I can think.
Mary? Oh, Mary. I'm back. Is Colonel Protheroe here?
He's in the study. Been here since 6:15.
Oh. Mr. Redding, why was he leaving in such a hurry?
I don't know. He came a few minutes ago. I told him you'd be back any minute and that Colonel Protheroe was waiting in the study. He said he'd wait too.
We can't have waited long. I've just seen him outside.
Well, I didn't see him leave. He can't have stayed more than a couple of minutes. Mrs. Clement isn't back yet.
Oh, thank you, Mary. I better not keep the Colonel waiting any longer. I'm sorry to have been so long, Colonel Protheroe. Protheroe? Oh, my God! Mary! Mary!
What is it?
Go and get Dr. Haydock straight away. Run as fast as you can. Tell him there's been an accident.
He's dead, right enough. Been dead half an hour, I should say.
Suicide?
Quite out of the question. Look at the position of the wound. Besides, if he shot himself, where's the gun?
You mean to say it's murder?
Certainly looks like it. What else could it be? Most extraordinary business.
There's one rather curious thing. I was telephoned a while ago to say that old Abbott was dying and would I go out to Lower Farm straight away. Well, when I got there, I found that he was as right as rain, and his wife flatly denied calling me at all.
It sounds as if someone wanted to get you out of the way. I'd better ring up the police. Don't touch a thing.
Everything's been messed up and pulled about, I suppose?
You should know me better than that, Inspector Slack. Everything is exactly as we found it.
Somebody knocked the clock over. It must have stopped. Give us the time of the crime.
Oh, no.
6:22.
Yes, but you see, that clock
what
is all...
What time do you reckon death occurred, Doctor?
About half an hour before I got here.
And the body was discovered at 6:50. It almost brings it to the identical second.
Yes, but Inspector, you see, that clock
if
is...
If you'll 15... excuse me, Vicar, I'll ask you any questions I want to know. What I need now is absolute silence.
Yes, but the clock is accurate.
Absolute silence. Now then, what was the Colonel doing sitting at your desk? Did he want to write a note? Yes, by George, he did. 6:20, dear Clement, sorry I can't wait any longer, but I must... And it just tails off. Plain as a pikestaff. He sits down here to write this. His killer comes in through the open window and shoots him. What more is there to say?
Well, I do think you ought to know...
I'd be obliged if you two gentlemen would clear out of here. I need to make a detailed examination of the room. Right now.
Inspector, we keep the clock.
There'll be time for you to say whatever you have to say tomorrow.
And you mean to say that you didn't tell him that the clock in your study is always kept 1/4 hour
he
fast?
He absolutely refused to let me say a word.
But when that clock said 6:20, it was really only 5 past, and I doubt whether Colonel Prothero had even arrived by then.
It's quite a mystery, isn't it? How's Mrs. Prothero taking it?
Well, she was very quiet. Really very quiet indeed. It was rather strange.
Well, it's the shock, of course.
It wasn't like that somehow. She didn't seem as much shocked as terrified.
Terrified?
Yes, but trying not to show it. There was a queer, watchful look in her eyes. I wonder if she has a sort of idea who killed him.
Would you believe it? The police have arrested Lawrence Redding.
What?
What?
It must be some stupid mistake.
Doesn't look like it. Lawrence went to the station and gave himself up last thing last night. Threw the pistol down on the desk and said, I did it, just like that. I'm going to go and see Lettuce.
Lawrence must be mad. Absolutely mad. What earthly reason could he have for killing Colonel Protheroe?
They did have a quarrel, remember.
Oh, about Lettuce and her bathing dress. That's no reason for him to kill her father.
Well, when I met him at the gate yesterday evening, he looked as if he'd gone out of his mind. And there's the clock. He must have put it back to 6:20 with the idea of making an alibi for himself.
That doesn't sound like the action of a murderer. But Lawrence knew about the clock being kept fast. Don't you remember? He once joked about keeping the vicar up to time.
Well, he must simply have forgotten about it.
No, if you were committing a murder, you'd be awfully careful about a thing like that.
I hope I'm not intruding, but the door was open. Oh. And in the circumstances...
Yes, do come in, Miss Marple.
Oh, thank you.
Do take a seat.
Oh, thank you. Oh, poor Colonel Protheroe. Not a very pleasant man, perhaps, but nonetheless it is a terrible thing to happen. And actually shot in your study, I understand.
That is the case, yes.
Hmm. I suppose everyone has their idea of who it is that has committed the crime, and each suspects that it's somebody different. I, for instance, am quite convinced I know who did it, but I must admit I haven't a shadow of proof. One must, I know, be very careful of what one says at a time like this. Criminal libel, don't they call it? Mm. I had made up my mind to be most careful with Inspector Slack. He sent word that he would come and see me this morning. But now, he has just phoned up to say it won't be necessary after all.
I suppose he thinks there would be no point after the arrest.
The arrest? I didn't know that there had been an arrest.
Oh, yes. Now, hadn't you heard? The police have arrested Lawrence Redding.
Lawrence Redding? Now, I should not have thought.
I just can't believe it, even though he has confessed.
He has confessed? Oh, dear. I have been sadly at sea. Yes, sadly at sea.
I can't help feeling it must be some kind of accident. I mean, why else should he come forward to give himself up?
He gave himself up?
Yes.
Oh, I am so glad. So very glad.
It shows a true state of remorse, I suppose.
Remorse? Oh, but surely, dear vicar, you don't think he is guilty?
I cannot see why Lawrence Redding should confess to the murder if he hasn't committed it.
But surely that proves it, does it not? I mean that he had nothing to do with it. Mr. Redding cannot possibly have committed the murder.
In episode 1 of Murder at the Vicarage by Agatha Christie, Miss Marple was played by June Whitfield and the Reverend Leonard Clement by Francis Matthews. Griselda Clement, Imelda Staunton, Dennis, Nicholas Bolton, Dr. Haydock, Nigel Davenport. Lettuce Protheroe, Rachel Atkins, Anne Protheroe, Francis Jeter, Colonel Protheroe, James Green. Mrs. Lestrange, Jilly Mears, Mrs. Price Ridley, Margot Boyd, Miss Weatherby, Joan Matheson, Lawrence Redding, James Telfer, Inspector Slack, John Baddeley, and Mary, Alice Arnold. Murder at the Vicarage was dramatized for radio by Michael Bakewell and directed by Enid Williams.
Until yesterday, there hadn't been a murder at St. Mary Mead for 15 years. And for a man like Colonel Protheroe to be actually murdered in the vicarage, there has been nothing to compare with that in living memory. And then, to crown it all, Lawrence Redding walks into the police station and calmly confesses to the murder.
We present June Whitfield as Miss Marple and Francis Matthews as the Reverend Leonard Clement in Agatha Christie's Murder at the Vicarage.
I may be dense, Miss Marple. Well, Griselda often tells me that I am.
Leonard.
But I cannot see why Lawrence Redding should confess to the murder if he hasn't committed it. If you'd seen his face last night, he was like a madman. He was trembling from head to foot.
Yes, but surely that only goes to support what I am saying. It seems to me that if a young man had made up his mind to take a fellow creature's life, he would not appear distraught about it afterwards. Well, I know it is difficult to put oneself into such a position, but I cannot imagine myself getting into a state like that.
But we hardly know the circumstances. If there was a quarrel, the shot may have been fired in a sudden gust of anger, and Lawrence might afterwards have been appalled by what he'd done.
But surely, Mr. Clement, one must take the facts as they actually are, must one not? And it does not seem to me that the facts bear the interpretation you put on them. Your maid distinctly states that Mr. Redding was only in the house a couple of minutes. Not long enough, surely, for a quarrel such as you suggest. And then again, I understand the Colonel was shot through the back of the head when he was writing a letter.
It's quite true. He seems to have been writing a note to say he couldn't wait any longer. The note was timed at 6:20, and the clock on the table was overturned and had stopped at 6:22. And that's what's been puzzling us.
Why, my dear?
Because our clock is always kept a quarter of an hour fast.
Ooh.
So that when it said 6:22, the Colonel would not even have arrived.
Very curious. Very curious indeed. But the note itself seems to me even more curious.
Morning.
Oh.
I hope I'm not butting in on anything.
No, a letter's not in the least.
I hear they've arrested Lawrence.
Yes, we were just talking about it.
I never really thought anyone would murder Father. Lots of people must have wanted to. There have been times when I would have liked to do it myself.
Can I get you anything? Letters, a cup of coffee?
No, thanks. I really only came to see if I'd left my berry here. I think I may have put it down in the study the other day.
Oh, if you did, it's still there. Mary never tidies anything.
I'll go and see. Oh, sorry to be such a bore, but I seem to have lost everything in the hat line.
Ah, no, I'm afraid you won't be able to get in the study. Inspector Sack locked it up last night.
How remarkably tedious of him.
Yes, but surely, lettuce, a yellow berry won't be much good to you at present.
Oh, I shan't bother about mourning. I think it's an awfully archaic idea. Still, it's a nuisance about Florence. I suppose it's all on account of me and my bathing dress.
Oh, but surely you're...
I think that I shall go home and tell my stepmother about Lawrence having been arrested. See you later.
Yes.
Why did you step on my foot, Miss Marple?
You were going to say something, my dear, and it is often so much better to let things develop along their own lines. I don't think, you know, that child is half so silly as she pretends to be. She's got a very definite idea in her head, and she's acting on it.
A policeman's come with a message from Colonel Melchett.
Colonel Melchett?
He's the chief constable of the county, my dear.
He's over at Dr. Haydock's, and he wants you to go there, Mr. Clement.
Well, I'll do so straight away. If you'll excuse me, Miss Marple.
Oh, certainly, Vicar.
This extraordinary story of Redding's. Have you any idea what his quarrel with Prothero was about, Vicar? I've heard rumours, of course, about him being forbidden the house. Did he seduce young Lettuce or something? Was that the trouble?
Oh, no. No, it wasn't. You can take it from me that it was something different. But I can't say more at present.
I'm glad to hear it. We don't want to bring the girl into this any more than we can help, for everybody's sake. But there was a lot of talk.
Too many old ladies with nothing better to do.
Funny none of them heard the shot, though.
Well, as far as I can tell, the study door, the pantry door, and the kitchen door were all shut.
But I understand the study window was open. I wonder why the old lady... what's her name?
Miss Marple.
Yeah, I wonder why she didn't hear it.
Perhaps she did.
No, I don't think so. Now, she was over at the vicarage just now, and she didn't mention hearing a shot.
What about a silencer? That's quite likely, surely.
Slack didn't find one, and he asked Redding, and Redding didn't seem to know what he was talking about at first. But then he denied using one.
Since he's confessed to the murder, that would seem to settle the matter. Did he give any reason for killing Prothero?
He says they quarrelled and he lost his temper and shot him.
Which, as Miss Marple has just been pointing out to me, doesn't really square with the facts.
Well, are you suggesting that he crept up on Prothero while he was writing the letter?
He must have done. There was no time for a quarrel. He went in, shot Prothero, put the clock back to 6:20, all in the few minutes before I encountered him at the gate.
What do you mean, in the few minutes before you encountered him? I thought it was 7:10 when you got back to the vicarage.
That's right. Mary let Redding in at about 6:45.
But that just isn't possible. Prothero had been dead for at least 30 minutes when I examined him, and that can't have been later than 7.
If Redding says he killed Prothero at 6:45, he's lying.
What possible reason could he have for doing that?
Come in.
Excuse me, sir, but there's a note for the vicar. Very important, apparently.
Oh, thank you, Constable. It's from Anne Prothero.
To do with the murder?
I don't know. Please come to me. I don't know what to do. It's too awful. I want to tell someone. Please come immediately and bring anyone you like with you.
Is this what you were hinting at earlier?
Yes. Yes, I wasn't sure if it was my duty to speak. Well, now it's obvious that I must. Anne Prothero was having an affair with Lawrence Redding.
Was she now?
Well, we'd better be getting over to Old Hall. I wanted to have a word with the servants anyway.
Mrs. Prothero will be down in a few minutes, gentlemen. Is there something I can get for you?
No, thank you. But there are a few questions I'd like to put to you while we're waiting.
Of course, Colonel Melchett.
I'd like to know when Mr. Redding was last here.
That would have been on Tuesday afternoon, sir.
I understand there was some sort of disagreement between him and the Colonel.
I believe so, sir. The Colonel gave the orders that Mr. Redding was not to be admitted in future.
Did you overhear the quarrel at all?
Colonel Prothero had an uncommonly loud voice, sir, especially when it was raised in anger. It seems it had to do with the portrait of Miss Lettice.
Any other visitors to the Colonel?
Yes, sir, there were. On Wednesday afternoon, the archaeologist Dr. Stone called and was here for some time. And there was a lady in the evening.
A lady?
Yes, sir. The family were at dinner. I showed her into the morning room.
And how long was she with the Colonel?
About half an hour, I believe.
And did she give her name?
Yes, sir. It was a Mrs. Lestrange.
Mrs. Lestrange?
Yes, Doctor.
Thank you for coming so promptly, Mr. Clement.
Well, you did ask me to bring anyone I thought fit.
I see you understood what I meant. I think we had better have our little talk in the morning room. It's best to get it over quickly, I suppose. You see, it was I who killed my husband.
Oh, my dear Mrs. Prothero.
I know it sounds rather blunt put like that, but I'm not one for hysterics. I've hated Lucius for a long time. The only surprising thing is that I didn't do it long ago.
You are aware that Lawrence Redding has already confessed to the crime.
It was frightfully gallant of him, but very silly. He's very much in love with me.
He knew that it was you who'd committed the murder?
Yes. Yes, I told him. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Unfortunately, we must. Where did you get the pistol, Mrs. Prothero?
It was my husband's. I knew that he kept it in his desk drawer.
And you took it with you to the vicarage?
Yes. I knew he would be there.
Did anyone see you entering or leaving the vicarage?
No. I mean, yes. Miss Marple. She was in her garden. I talked to her for a few minutes. Look, I can't stand any more of this. Why don't you just arrest me?
I'm sure it isn't as simple as that.
We need to explore the matter further. I think it would be best if you were to remain here, Mrs. Prothero. Would you mind staying with her, Doctor?
No, of course not, no.
There are a few questions I'd like to put to the people here, and then I shall call on Miss Marple. Perhaps you'll keep me company, Vicar.
Yeah.
I don't want to put the wind up your flock.
As a matter of fact, I was in my little garden from 5 o'clock onwards yesterday, and of course, from there, well, one simply cannot help seeing everything that is going on at the vicarage next door.
I understand, Miss Marple, that Mrs. Prothero passed this way yesterday evening.
Oh, yes, she did. I called out to her, and she admired my roses.
Could you tell us about when that was?
I should say just a minute after 6:15. The church clock had just chimed.
Very good. And then?
Mrs. Prothero said her husband had an appointment with Mr. Clement, and that she would go to the vicarage and meet him there, so that they could go home together.
Now, the lane up to Old Hall passes by Miss Marple's garden.
If you would come outside, I'll show you. You see, the path opposite the stile leads to Old Hall, and that is the way they would have taken home together.
And from here, she went across to the vicarage?
Oh, yes. I saw her turn the corner of the house. I suppose that the Colonel had not arrived, because she came back almost immediately and went down the lawn to the studio.
I let Redding use it for his painting.
And you didn't hear a shot, Miss Marple?
I didn't hear a shot then.
When did you hear a shot, Miss Marple?
I think there was a shot somewhere in the woods, but quite 5 or 10 minutes later, and as I say, out in the woods. At least I think so. Surely it can't have been.
So Mrs. Prothero went down to the studio. Then what?
She went inside and waited. Presently Mr. Redding came along the lane from the village. He went up to the vicarage gate.
And saw you?
As a matter of fact, he didn't see me, because just at that moment I was bending down trying to uproot a particularly nasty dandelion. So difficult. And then he went through the gate and down to the studio.
He didn't go near the house?
Oh, no. He went straight to the studio. Mrs. Prothero came to the door to meet him, and then they both went inside.
And how long did they stay there?
About 10 minutes. At 6:30, they strolled out through the garden and along the lane towards the village. They were joined by Dr. Stone and Miss Cram. Well, I think it must have been Miss Cram, because her skirts were so short.
When they left the studio, did you happen to notice what sort of expression they had on their faces?
They were smiling and talking. They seemed very happy together.
They didn't seem disturbed in any way.
Oh, no, quite the opposite.
Deuced odd.
There's something odd about the whole business.
Why? Has Mrs. Prothero been saying that she committed the crime now?
How on earth did you come to guess that, Miss Marple?
Oh, well, I rather thought it might happen. I think dear Lettice thought so, too. She's really a very sharp girl. So Anne Prothero says she killed her husband.
Oh, yes, she's quite insistent about it.
Well, I do not think that it is true. In fact, I'm sure it isn't. Not with a woman like Anne Prothero. Although one can never be sure about anyone, can one? When does she say she shot him?
At 6:20, just after speaking to you.
And what is she supposed to have shot him with?
A pistol.
Where did she find it?
She brought it with her.
Oh, no, that she didn't do, I can swear to it. She'd no such thing with her.
You mightn't have seen it.
Oh, of course I should have seen it.
Well, it could have been in her handbag.
She wasn't carrying a handbag.
It might have been concealed somewhere.
My dear Colonel Melchett, you know what young women are nowadays. Not ashamed to show exactly how their creator made them. She hadn't so much as a handkerchief in the top of her stocking.
But you have to admit it all fits in. The time, the overturned clock stopped at 6:22.
Oh, do you mean to say that you haven't told him about that clock?
Well,
what about the clock?
It was fast. We always keep that clock about 1/4 hour fast.
Why the devil... forgive me. Why on earth didn't you tell Slack about this?
I tried to. He absolutely refused to let me utter a word.
It's quite beyond me. Everybody confessing to the murder, left, right and centre.
If I might be allowed to suggest...
Huh?
If you were to tell Lawrence Redding what Mrs. Prothero has done, and then to explain that you don't really believe her, and then if you were to go to Anne and tell her that Mr. Redding's in the clear, why then they might each of them tell the truth. And the truth is helpful. Though I dare say they don't know very much themselves, poor things.
That's all very well, but they're the only people who had a motive for doing away with Prothero.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
Why? Can you think of anyone else?
Oh, yes, indeed. I can think of at least 7 people who would be very glad to have Colonel Prothero out of the way.
7 people? Well, in St. Mary Mead.
Oh, mind you, I name no names. That wouldn't be right. But I'm afraid there's a lot of wickedness in the world. A nice, honourable, upright soldier like you doesn't know about these things, Colonel Melchett.
I suppose there's no doubt about what she says.
If Miss Marple says Anne Prothero had no pistol with her, you can take it for granted that's so. If there was the least possibility of such a thing, Miss Marple would have been onto it like a shot. If you pardon the pun.
Yeah, that's true enough.
Well, what's the next step?
I'm going to follow up Miss Marple's suggestion and have a little talk with Redding and Mrs. Prothero.
Yes.
Slack had better be in on it, too. And I'd like it to happen at the scene of the crime, if you have no objections, Vicar.
I've been an absolute idiot. How could I possibly have thought for a minute that Anne would do such a thing?
Perhaps you'd like to tell us what did happen.
There's not much to tell. You see, Vicar, I decided I was going to follow your advice.
Oh, yes?
I arranged to meet Mrs. Prothero at the studio at 6:15 to tell her that I had made up my mind it would be best for all concerned if I went away.
Hmm.
She agreed that it was the only thing to do.
How long were you in the studio together?
It can't have been more than 10 minutes.
As we came into the lane, we ran into Dr. Stone, and I went off with him to have a drink at the Blue Boar.
And when did you come out?
It must have been nearly a quarter to seven. I thought I'd go home, but when I got to the corner of the road, I made up my mind I'd tell Mr. Clement what I'd decided. Your maid told me that you were out, but would be back shortly. Colonel Protheroe was already in the study, she said.
Go on, Mr. Redding.
Well, I didn't like to go away again. It looked as though I was trying to avoid him. So I said I'd wait too. And I went into the study.
And what did you find there?
I think you know. Protheroe was sitting at the writing desk. I went up to him. He was dead. Then I looked down and saw the pistol lying on the floor. It was my pistol.
Your pistol?
There was only one conclusion I could come to. Anne must have taken my pistol some time or other, perhaps meaning to use it on herself, if she couldn't bear things any longer. I thought she must have had it with her, and that after we parted in the village, she had come back here and... Well, it seems monstrous now, but I could think of no other explanation. I slipped the pistol in my pocket.
This pistol of yours, Mr. Redding, when did you last see it before the murder?
It's hard to say exactly.
Where'd you keep it?
On a shelf of the bookcase in my cottage.
So that anyone who came in could have seen it?
Yes.
And who has been to see you lately?
All sorts of people. I had a tea party there the day before yesterday. Lettuce was there, and Dennis and Miss Cram. Haydock was there for a while, and that curate of yours, Mr. Clement, what's his name?
No, Mr. Hawes.
Yes.
Do you lock the cottage up when you go out?
Why on earth should I? No one dreams of locking a house up round here.
So it comes to this. Almost anyone might have taken the pistol.
It seems so, yes.
Oh, really?
Dr. Haydock's here. He's brought Mrs. Protheroe.
All right, ask them to come in, will you, Mary?
You can go in now.
I'll wait for you in the sitting room, Mrs. Protheroe.
Thank you, Doctor.
Anne, forgive me. It was abominable of me to think what I did.
Is it true what Dr. Haydock's told me?
That Mr. Redding is cleared of suspicion?
Yes.
And now, what about this story of yours, Mrs. Protheroe?
I suppose you think it dreadful of me.
Shall we say, very foolish. But that's over.
What we want now is the truth, the absolute truth.
I will tell you. I suppose you know about everything.
Oh, yes. We all know.
The chauffeur drove Lucius and me into the village. I had some shopping to do. As we parted, Lucius mentioned he had a meeting with Mr. Clement. I had arranged to meet Lawrence in the studio at 6:15. I couldn't get word to him to warn him that my husband was going to be at the vicarage.
So what did you do?
I thought that perhaps Lucius might not stay very long. So I went along the back lane to the side gate. And, of course, Miss Marple had to be in her garden. We talked for a few minutes, and I told her I was going to call for my husband.
And what happened after you left her?
I went across to the vicarage and round the corner of the house to the study window. I expected to hear the sound of voices, but there wasn't a thing. I glanced in and saw that the room was empty, and I hurried across the lawn to the studio where Lawrence joined me almost at once.
Would you mind showing us now exactly what you did?
Whatever you wish.
Inspector Slack will open the window for you.
Very good.
Now, if you'd be so good as to step out onto the terrace, go round the corner of the house and walk back past the window, just as you did the other day.
Of course.
And then come straight back in again.
Yes, Inspector.
Now, Clement, if you'd go and sit at your writing table.
Oh, as Protheroe did. Yes, very well.
And lean over the desk, as if you were writing.
She's coming now. Thank you, Mrs. Protheroe.
Did that tell you what you wanted to know?
Is that exactly how it was?
Yes, I think so.
Then, can you tell us, Mrs. Protheroe, exactly where the vicar was when you looked in?
The vicar? I'm afraid I didn't see him at all.
Then that's why you didn't see your husband. He was out of your field of vision at the writing desk.
You mean it was there that Lucius?
Yes, Mrs. Protheroe. He was shot while he was sitting there.
It makes me feel quite sick. Is that all? Can I go now?
Yes, Mrs. Protherham. You can go.
Will you be needing me any more?
I have no further questions.
I'll come with you, Anne. Goodbye, gentlemen.
Yes, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
Goodbye, Mrs. Fox.
So, back to square one.
Yes, I have a feeling that this is going to turn out to be a much more intricate case than any of us had imagined. We're only beginning.
I've never known anything like it, Mrs. Clement. When Dr. Stone told me we were coming to St. Mary Mead, I thought that little Gladys was going to be bored to tears. But just look what's happened since we've been here. Adulterous passion up at the manor, the colonel shot dead in the vicar's study, and no less than two confessions. Whatever next?
Oh, hello, darling.
Oh.
Have all the policemen gone?
Yes, they've gone.
I don't think you've met Gladys Cram.
Oh.
She's helping Dr. Stone with his excavation.
Ah, yes, how do you do, Miss Cram?
How do you do, Vicar?
Must be a very interesting pursuit.
I've only been with the doctor a few weeks. It seems a rather creepy sort of thing to be doing. Digging up people that have been dead for hundreds of years and rooting about among their possessions.
Is Dr. Stone going to carry on with his excavations?
Oh, bless you, of course he is. He wouldn't let a little thing like a murder get in his way. I doubt whether he's even noticed. He's all wrapped up in the past. He'd 100 times rather look at a rusty old knife he's dug out of some old burial mound than see the knife Crippen cut his wife's throat with.
Well, I must confess I rather sympathise with his point of view. Oh, Mary?
Miss Marple's here. She wants to have a word.
I must be off. The doctor will be wondering where little Gladys has got to. Bye-bye, Vicar.
Goodbye, Miss Crown.
Thanks for the coffee, Mrs. C.
Not at all. Bye.
Well, shall I show her in or not?
Yes, Mary, if you please. Really, that girl goes from bad to worse. Can't you even get her to knock?
I can't get her to do anything, particularly since that Inspector Slack has been prying about the place.
What's Slack got to do with it?
He was responsible for her young man being sent to prison for poaching.
Oh, you mean young Archer. They're going out together.
Have been for 2 years. You never notice anything.
I hope I'm not intruding.
No, no, of course not. Do come in, Miss Marple.
Oh, thank you.
You see, I couldn't help noticing that Mr. Redding and Mrs. Protheroe had both been here.
Yes, and it worked out just as you said it would.
And who do the police think did it now?
Well, they don't seem to know where to go next. I do wish you'd tell me who your 7 suspects are, Miss Marple.
My 7 suspects?
Well, yes, you said that you could think of 7 people who would be glad of Prothero's death.
Did I? Oh, yes. Yes, I remember now.
Well, was it true?
Oh, certainly it was true. But I mustn't mention names. You can think of them quite easily yourselves, I'm sure.
Well, there's Lettice Protheroe, I suppose. Well, she always complained her father kept her short of money.
You can't possibly think Lettice did it. I don't know how people could be so hateful starting pointless stories when there's not a shred of truth.
If only there were any real clues.
There is the note, of course, that the Colonel was writing. As I said this morning, I thought it most peculiar.
It does seem to fix the time of death with remarkable accuracy. Why should he head it 6:20?
Why should he start to write the letter at all? That's the question. Your maid Mary had already told him that you wouldn't be in until 6:30 at the earliest. And he seemed quite willing to wait until then. And yet, at 6:20, he sits down and writes to say he can't wait any longer.
If only there hadn't been a time on it.
Exactly.
You know, as I remember it, that bit about it being 6:20 was written quite differently from the rest.
So it might have been the work of someone else?
Well, yes, I suppose it could.
Then it is possible that there was no time originally written on the letter at all. Colonel Protheroe might actually have sat down to write it at about 6:35.
And while he was writing it, someone came in. But no, he'd have noticed.
Oh, he was rather deaf, you know.
All right. The murderer stole up and shot him, noticed the letter and saw a way of giving himself an alibi by putting 6:20 at the top of it and then altering the clock to that time.
Yes, it does seem quite possible.
So we need to find someone who has a cast iron alibi for 6:20, but none at all for 6:35, or whatever the time was.
And of course, the shot I heard could have been the real shot. And I thought nothing about it. Nothing at all. Yet, now I try to recollect, it does seem to me that it was different from the usual kind of shot that one hears.
Louder?
No, I don't think it was louder. In fact, I can't really say in what way it was different, but I know that it was.
Mary said she thought she heard it too, but she was sure that it came from the woods.
Oh, no, yes, but that's just because we're always hearing shots coming from the woods. Oh,
dear.
There's
a note come.
A note? Who brought it?
Well, I didn't see, did I? Someone put it through the letterbox. Here.
Thank you, Mary.
I can't see through the door, can I?
Good Lord.
Well, what's it say?
I should be so very grateful if you could come and see me as soon as you possibly can. I'm in great trouble and need your advice. Sincerely yours, Estelle Lestrange.
Mrs. Lestrange? You don't suppose she's involved in all this? Well, Mrs. Evans, who does my cleaning, tells me that Colonel Prothero's kitchen maid happened to overhear the most tremendous row between Mrs. Lestrange and the Colonel the night before his murder.
Well, there's more to her than meets the eye.
There may well be. But if Mrs. Lestrange is going to confess to the killing as well, I think I shall go out of my mind.
In episode 2 of Murder at the Vicarage by Agatha Christie, Miss Marple was played by June Whitfield and the Reverend Leonard Clement by Francis Matthews. Griselda Clement, Imelda Staunton, Dr. Haydock, Nigel Davenport, Colonel Melchett, Richard Todd. Lettice Prothero, Rachel Atkins, Anne Prothero, Francis Jeter, Gladys Cram, Una Beeson, Lawrence Redding, James Telfer. Inspector Slack, John Badley, the Constable, Malcolm Ward, the butler, Lewis Jones, and Mary, Alice Arnold. Murder at the Vicarage was dramatized for radio by Michael Bakewell and directed by Enid Williams.